Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. On this rainy Friday, time to get a look at the headlines from today. If you missed it earlier or if you haven't heard yet, Georgia Tech has been served by the NCAA with a notice of allegations regarding alleged recruiting violations committed by former assistant coach Daryl Labarre and Ron Bell, a friend of Josh Pastner's. Kind of the quick version of it, you had a former Georgia Tech player in Jarrett Jack, who gave Wendell Carter, a recruit at the time, and Justin Moore, a Georgia Tech player at the time, $300 each at the strip club.
So?
Georgia Tech has not been charged with a lack of institutional control. Josh Pastner, Georgia Tech's coach, has not been charged with anything yet, not failure to promote an atmosphere of compliance, nor failure to monitor his staff. Labarre is accused of providing false or misleading information to the NCAA. Georgia Tech officials regarding his misleading information to the NCAA and to Georgia Tech regarding his knowledge of the incident. He's accused of trying to influence the player to provide misleading information to investigators. And then Ron Bell, the former friend of Josh Pastner's, he paid for airline tickets for two former Tech players to fly them out to Arizona, gave them sneakers, clothing, meals, travel expenses worth more than $1,400. He also tried to influence a former Memphis player in Markel Crawford to transfer to Georgia Tech.
Chris, when I look at the type of money you said, $300 for a strip club, $1,400 in merchandise.
Like, yeah, $2,000 like, is basically really? What, at least from what we know.
I mean, really?
It's $2,000.
I mean, we ain't talking about $200,000. We're talking about less than $2,000. Really? Is that really, I mean, I talked about it earlier. I'm not saying I condone it, but I don't care.
But you understand.
I understand. I understand what you're talking about when you're trying to get these kids to come to your school. You take advantage of your resources. And one of the resources that Georgia Tech has is that they have Atlanta. And that's what Atlanta has right there, them strippers. All right? So, like, these young men want to go out there. And because $300 at a strip club, it'll get you.
not far.
But it just depends. If you want to isolate you with one of the young ladies, $300 can get you a good little hour of her just dancing for you, and you can have some, you know, a couple drinks. I mean, $300 ain't going to really get you, like, balling status.
No.
Yeah, you ain't balling with $300 in a strip club, but you can have a nice night, you know, if you just want to just, hey, hang out in the corner, she dances, you pay her, get a couple drinks. That's a good night for some people. But $300, you finna sit there and think you finna ball? No.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
No. No, go to be one of the corner dudes that be just looking.
Georgia Tech has.
Yeah, go be one of the corner dudes that be peeping around your shoulder trying to look at your dance.
The corner dudes.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech has until May the 16th to respond to these allegations by the NCAA. I don't know exactly what all – if you haven't been charged with anything necessarily in the case of Pastner, now he's got his lawyer involved and he's not going to speak to anybody right now, but things have not gone well for him, as we talked about. I mean, this isn't the first time that there's been some issues, some legal issues that have been brought up. He went through an ordeal earlier this year.
That ordeal, that was more, it seemed like it was personal. Like, Oboe was trying to get him. But, I mean, you look at his record. You know, we thought after 2016-17, 21-16, the NIT finals, we thought, hey, might got something. Now, go do what we've been told that you do best, and that's recruiting. Go get us some guys here. All right? It can't be that hard to recruit to Tech. Again, it's in Atlanta. Right. All right? It's in Atlanta. And again, as I always say, miss me with the academic stuff, okay? Because I got plenty of partners, and I love them dearly, but they got into tech. And they get into tech, it ain't going to be that hard to get in tech, all right? Especially when you talk about, you know, recruiting, whatever. Then it went down to 17-18. They were 13-19, 6-12 in the ACC. And then this year, they got the same ACC record. They were 14-17. So that ain't good, man. And now can you, like you said, this is the second time. Can they use this as an opportunity to move on from him and use this as, you know, the last straw and pin it more on this than the achievement of the players on the court?
So this is year three?
Yeah.
We just finished year three?
Yeah, just finished.
Now, most of the time in football, you get 4 years. Right, you want to get
your recruiting cycle. That's why we go back to Willie Taggart. You sure they won't give him three, just to see?
I don't know how long are they willing to be patient at Florida State?
Not long,
because that's a fan base that, you know what, 30 something consecutive years.
Man, they had to make up a game to get in the bowl.
Right,
they're passionate about it.
Right. Hey, tonight a good one in the ACC. You've got North Carolina and Duke in the ACC semifinals. North Carolina trying to go to 3-0 against Duke. This is a series in the last 100 games. Duke has won 50. North Carolina has won 50. So it has been, again, as far as college basketball goes, it gets no better.
No, this is it's personal. We know what they call the Battle of Tobacco Road.
Yep.
We got all that. This is personal because arguably the best player this year in that series hasn't played. You know, he played a few seconds and then blew out his shoe. He didn't play in the last game, and Duke just put it on. I'm sorry, North Carolina put it on Duke.
Right.
And now he's back. He's healthy. You saw last night, he played 36 minutes. And then he said he was ready 3 games ago. They just wanted to get his conditioning up. They didn't have an answer for May last in that game at Duke. He just abused them down low. And what did we see last night from Zion? Just his presence defensively down low.
Changes everything.
It changed the whole outlook of that Duke basketball team.
He's 13 of 13 last night as Duke defeated Syracuse. But Zion Williamson goes 13 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 1 from beyond the arc. He scored 29 points. He is if you want to find one nitpicking thing about his game last night, he went 2 of 9 from the free throw line.
Yeah, that's about it. And then overall, they didn't shoot well from the three-point line. You know, and I think 18 turnovers, you know, they're 7 of 23 from the three-point line. So we all know that that's kind of their Achilles heel. If you can find a way to keep them in a half-court game or something like that, you might have a chance. But if you let them go up and down, and then you let Zion catch the ball anywhere he wants to on the block, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah. You know, that will be a good one. That's the late game tonight in the ACC. Tip-off is at 9. Florida State and Virginia play at 7 o'clock. Look, all the hype and all the attention will be about Zion Williamson today in that Duke-North Carolina game. I'm going to have to catch a nap at some point in time so I can still be awake at 9 o'clock to be able to see the tip-off for that one because I want to see it. But this Florida State-Virginia game has
a chance to be a good game.
It should be. And nobody's talking about it. It's almost like Virginia is the forgotten child.
They're number two in the country.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. Then, but you wouldn't know that if you follow the narrative of the way this conference tournament has unfolded. You wouldn't know they're the number two team in the country.
Yeah, and we know what Virginia's been this last couple years. They've been a team that will lock you down defensively. But now they got offense to go with that defense. And we know that you know they're one of the slower-paced teams and all that. We get all that. But they're just so efficient. Can they, and if they do get this number one seed, which we all are thinking that they probably will still get it, they got that stigma of last year, Chris. One of the surest bets I think that anybody would always make is that a 16 will never be the one.
That's right.
That was always a sure thing.
That's right.
You know, when we fill out our brackets, we ain't got touches. We know that the one seed is going to win. And then last year, the embarrassment for that. But, I mean, they got depth, and they got guys that can shoot the rock this year, so watch out for Virginia.
Over in the SEC, that tournament taking place up in Nashville, you've got LSU against Florida. Maybe I get the feeling you don't think the absence of Will Wade is a big deal.
I don't. And But I can be wrong as soon as like a coaching error or something goes wrong.
Right.
But I'll go by what the players said their press conference after they won the regular season title. I mean, we have confidence in the interim coach, but it's all about us. And he taught us how to make it about us, basically, and go out and just play and limit the distractions around it, and let's just go play. Kind of, Coach Wade, he wanted to come back because he right. I ain't even proved guilty of nothing. That may be me. That may not be me on that phone. It sounds more like him. But yeah. With that being said, he should be able to coach his team.
Auburn and South Carolina, Alabama against Kentucky. Again, we talked about Alabama earlier. I thought Avery Johnson was done with the way the regular season ended for Alabama. They turned it around. His guys rallied. They rallied hard yesterday, and they were able to get the win, coming from behind after trailing by 14 to be able to pick up the victory yesterday. So Alabama moves on. They get Kentucky today. That's the 7 o'clock game. And then at 9 o'clock, you've got Mississippi State and Tennessee. That may be the best game of the day in the SEC. Kentucky, by the way, will have Reed Travis back.
Yeah, you're on this Tennessee thing. I'm gonna wait and see. I like upperclassmen. I like those type of teams. But you know, a point that we made yesterday on the show was, where's the depth? Because you're fine with the first six, you know, when you look at Tennessee. But where's the depth behind that? And I think this is gonna test it. It's going to test it, because you can see a little slowing down as the season went on with Tennessee, because they came out like gangbusters. And then you saw kind of, you know, up and down a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see.
Also, speaking of LSU, Javonte Smart has been cleared to play. So he will be on the floor against Florida today. Smart averaging 12 points, 3 rebounds a game for LSU. He missed the regular season finale against Vanderbilt after his recruitment was linked to FBI wiretaps that also included now suspended LSU coach Will Wade. The school said in a release that Smart had fully cooperated in a joint investigation between LSU and the NCAA. So Javonte Smart will be back on the floor for LSU. That's a big boost for them.
Why can he come back?
And the
coach can't.
Well, probably because the coach was on his wiretap talking about that. That strong ass offer he made to get a kid.
That's very strong. When you put that part in it,
yeah,
the A word in it, that's a strong. I mean, you expect them to come when you say that.
You're not leaving a lot of room for interpretation.
Hey man, we brought it with that offer.
Falcons have made some moves. We haven't really talked much. We'll get more into the Falcons coming up. Vinny Iyer, the Sporting News, he covers the NFL draft. Vinny's going to come and join us coming up in the next segment. But you and I mentioned this yesterday. Luke Stocker gets a 2-year deal. Good blocker. Caught about 15 passes, 165 yards, couple of touchdowns last year.
He's more athletic than what you had in Paulson. Yeah, he ain't going to go get you 30 or something like that, 3rd reception or something, but he's a much better target.
Yeah, and probably a better blocker.
Yeah.
He played for Dirk Cutter in Tampa, so there's some familiarity there.
And Malarkey.
Is the door still open, Randy, for the Falcons to take a tight end?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so, maybe in the later round, because what is Sauber? I know Sauber's a really good athlete. He's a guy who's trying to develop, can't block anybody. But he's developing his grown man toughness, because when he played as a rookie, good Lord, I was like, boy, you need to get him off the field before he gets somebody hurt. When you were watching him get tussled and thrown around, and last year you saw him kind of do okay. So it's always hard for teams to walk away from their draft picks. We know that. Do you give him one more shot, or do you bring somebody in to at least compete with them? Because there's nothing like the development of a player when somebody coming to get your job.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Also, Falcons have we talked yesterday about who the return guy was going to be and what it would look like. Well, we got our answer late yesterday. Kenjon Barner, who I know him best from his time at Oregon, where he played under Chip Kelly,
right.
But he was a guy that's kind of bounced around the NFL. You kind of forget about him, and then earlier this year
– blasted, didn't he?
Yeah, by the punter.
Bosher put that thump on him.
Matt Bosher in, what was it, week 15, 16? He absolutely he nailed him. Here's the call.
Here's Barner to take the Bosher kick at the 3. Circling here to the near side, 25, Kenyon Barner. Whoa! Matt Bosher! That was second-year Matt Bosher. Took Kenyon Barner out of the air.
Randy, you and I have talked about it before. I love NFL films. I love the old NFL films and those that stuff from the 60s with those nasty Packer defenses and the stuff from the 70s with the Steelers and the Raiders. That's what that hit looked like. That was just old school.
It was high. But it was because it was the punter.
It's the punter,
but I'm
dude.
Telling give him you some credit. Like, when he comes in the locker room, everybody comes in for an offseason workout, they're going to give it to him now. And, you know, he had the funny tweet talking about this offseason. He's coming to Atlanta for one reason and one reason only. We got to fight. Because he got to fight. You got to fight Basha. And Basha comes out. And they have some good fun with the back and forth. Now they're teammates. But, yo, when we're in the locker room, you cannot get hit like that mm-mm. by the punter or the kicker.
He told Matt Bosher on Twitter, he said, "We got to fight. My son seen that live and in person. You are completely disrespectful."
There's no way that he's not going to let – you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen, though. The first team meeting went all together, or the first special teams meeting went all together, you know that Dan Quinn's going to show that clip, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be – yeah, you know he's going to show that clip.
Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News will join us. We'll talk NFL draft. Who may be available for the Falcons and the direction that the Falcons may look to go. We'll get into that with Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News when we come back. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, in on a Friday. Get you through the workday towards the end of the week, headed towards the weekend. We'll visit with Dave Buzz Baker of the SEC Network and the Kentucky Sports Network. Dave will be with us in about 40 minutes from now. We'll get you caught up on what's going on around the SEC and in Nashville. Right now, though, let's head out on the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News. Vinny covers the NFL draft for the Sporting News, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us. Vinny, the defensive line, a top need for the Falcons. A lot of draft analysts feel like this is a very deep draft for defensive linemen. When the Falcons go at 14, give us a couple of names that could still be there for Atlanta.
Well, I think you have to look at Ed Oliver, because some people don't know what to do with this guy. He's super talented, but is he an end? Is he a tackle? What kind of scheme does he fit in the best? So I just like, with this scheme, you have so many guys that are hybrid players right now that you want to look at them as guys you can put on the end on early downs and then slide them inside and rush the passer. We know with Dan Quinn, that history with Michael Bennett and some of the guys that they have, that scheme is perfect for players like that. So Ed Oliver, maybe Cleveland Farrell of Clemson drops a little bit now with some of the things that have happened earlier in the first round. So those two guys are the targets there. I think Christian Wilkins as well from Clemson. Versatility. That's what the name of the game is right now. If you've got a hybrid front and Dan Quinn taking over the play calling, I think those are the three guys that I would look at there for Atlanta.
Hey, Vinny, Tevin Coleman, who was back up here for 4 years, he just signed out with the San Francisco 49ers, and the Falcons need a backup running back. They have Ito Smith, but I'm talking about more of a bigger back. I'm a big Benny Snell fan. A lot of people talk about Elijah Holyfield. Who are some mid-round backs maybe that they can go for to back up Devontae Freeman or even take over from start if he does get hurt again?
Yeah, I think with Benny Snell, you hit that right on the head. He's a great power back. If you're looking for a guy that's going to finish in the red zone and be a good complement to a guy like Devonta Freeman, I think he's a guy. He wouldn't give you too much versatility, but I think you're fine with that because, mm-hmm. you know, Devonta can be a big pass catcher as well. I think Holyfield, a little bit disappointing combine there. I think Snell, they dropped a little bit. So these are some good values that you could get, I think, even on day three of the draft.
Vinny Iyer, the Sporting News, with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about the upcoming NFL draft. Elijah Holyfield from Georgia, Vinny, didn't post a good 40 time at the NFL Combine. How much does that hurt?
Well, I think in this class where there's a bunch of the speedsters everywhere, you look at Justice Hill of Oklahoma State, he's a guy that has some power but showed some amazing speed there at the Combine. So when you have a lot of fast backs and you look in relation to a guy that's a little slower, you have to have some special qualities. I think that definitely hurt him. I think with Benny Snell, I think there's a little bit more of that history of production there that you can trust a little bit versus Holyfield. But looking at these backs, I think it's going to be a tough market. Once you get past Josh Jacobs, you're looking at his teammate at Alabama, Damian Harris, probably going pretty high. You're looking at Devin Singletary, the guy that I also like in this draft, and David Montgomery. So I think those make up the early backs, and those are the complete guys with speed. So if you're kind of limited here, if you're a power back and you're slow, it's going to be hard in this particular draft to go beyond the fourth round of this one.
Hey, Vinny, I think we're pretty much locked in who, I guess you could say locked in quarterbacks, Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins. But right now, who would be that third guy? Is it a Drew Lock? Is it a Daniel Jones? Because we know one thing, quarterbacks are always overdrafted.
Yeah, I mean, people are looking at those two guys, Lock and Jones. I mean, I'm starting to like Will Greer more and more.
Really?
Somebody might be a mistake to pass on him because I just like the way he carries himself, the attitude. Look at the combine. I think he did himself a lot of favors. Leader of a team for so many years. He's used to the spotlight with his family, so no team is going to be too big for him. So if I'm like the New York Giants and I got number 6 and 17, I might use those to get the best player available, help my defense, and wait for Will Greer in the later round. So the key in this draft is don't force the issue of quarterback. If you don't totally like Drew Lock or Daniel Jones and Murray and Haskins are off the board, don't lock into it because – if you struggle next year, you know, Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert are coming. And if you struggle for 2 years, you know, Trevor Lawrence is coming. So you just have to keep that in the back of your mind that you're going to have to commit to this guy for a while. And if you're not totally sold on that guy for 3 to 4 years, then I would pass and maybe take a flyer on a guy later in the draft like Will Greer or Ryan Finley.
Vinny, we saw 5 quarterbacks go in the first round last year. How many do you think go in the first round this year?
I'll put the over under at 3.5 for you. So, that's what I would put if it was a Vegas line right now, 3.5. It'd be a tough line to bet on, but I'm not sure the Giants are going to go there, and that kind of throws things off. And we have the trickle down. The next team that would look at it is the Broncos at number 10. Then you look at the Dolphins, probably looking at quarterback right now because if they're cutting ties with Ryan Tannehill, they don't really have a veteran option. So they would be the next team in line. And you have to. Then it's a wild card after that. Are the Redskins going to go after a quarterback? Are they happy with Case Keenum in the short term? So I think that's where it gets tricky. I think there's 3 spots where you could see a quarterback go for sure, starting with number 1. But after that, I think, again, Jones or Lock, I think one of them might be disappointed in this first round.
Are you buying this notion that Arizona takes Kyler Murray first overall?
Well, I think they tried to disguise it pretty well by not showing up to his pro day, except they sent a whole bunch of scouts there. They didn't send any of the big-name guys, but they know this guy really well. I think you look at this NFL, it's a copycat league. Everyone wants that exciting, dynamic player that does basketball things on the court, like Patrick Mahomes and this offense with Cliff Kingsbury. Teams all line up with taking Kyler Murray, but the flip side of that, they got to get a taker for Josh Rosen here, and I think they're asking for a second-round pick right now, but they might have to settle for a third rounder. They can't get stuck with both these contracts. So I think people are maybe holding Arizona to that, where they know they have to move Rosen if they're going to go with Murray, and then maybe lowball them and get a first-round pick from just last year, 2 rounds later with his value.
Hey, Vinny, a position that's near and dear to my heart is the tight end position, and those two guys from Iowa and T.J. Hockenson. And no offense, I mean, they're special breeds. Who do you think will go first and why?
I think it's T.J. Hockenson. He's more of the complete guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at George Kittle and see what he can do. He's just an explosive receiver, but also a very good blocker. Mm-hmm. Noah Fant is more that offline tight end, you know, that can create mismatches down the middle of the field. He's more of a luxury guy to me, where Hockenson can be more of that nuts and bolts type tight end that really takes over games here blocking I think he has the upside of being like his Gronkowski to be the best all-around tight end in the game. So I think you go with Hockenson more there. But I think Fant, you got to be a little bit tolerant that he might be like Eric Ebron coming out, that he's going to be more of a pure receiver, and you got to live with that for a while.
But are they both first-round picks, you think?
I think Fant is borderline to me because you also have a kid from Alabama,
Irv
Smith, who's climbing up quickly. He's not just quite as big as O.J. Howard. I think people were surprised in this process that he's a solid blocker, you know, from Alabama. They're going to be that on the baseline. But I think they're surprised how good of a receiver he is. So I could see him going late. And I have Raheem right now in the mock draft going to Green Bay there with that second first-round pick.
Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News. You can find him sportingnews.com. He covers the NFL draft. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Vinny, one of the guys that has been linked to the Falcons is an offensive lineman that they may have some interest in, and Cody Ford from Oklahoma. Well, when you watch that guy, when you take a look at him, what stands out about him?
Well, I like his versatility. I think he's a very tough run blocker. There's a good team for him in Oklahoma, and with Rodney Anderson and the opening holes for him there. I think he did a great job. I think he's a bit raw when you think about him as an offensive tackle. So that's going to be the decision for Atlanta. You just got James Carpenter, Jamon Brown, central guards, but you also let Ryan Schrader go. So you have to see if Cody Ford is somebody that you could trust at putting at the right tackle right away. I think that's probably his best NFL position. Based on his development, I don't think he's a left tackle pass protector, and you don't need that in Atlanta, of course, with Jake Matthews. So I think for them, he would be a pretty darn good pick if they're indeed looking for Schrader's replacement.
Vinny, appreciate the time, man. And again, want to encourage folks to check out your handiwork, sportingnews.com.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot, man. Take care.
Thanks, man. Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News. He's been with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk a little bit about the NFL draft. And I don't know that I trust any of these quarterbacks.
Oh, the one thing I like what he said is if you're not sold, because the one thing you don't want to be is in a position like Arizona is right now because of the Kyler Murray, you just drafted a quarterback first round. If you're one of these teams and you draft one of these quarterbacks and yet you lose in your position to draft a guy like Tua, then, you know, you don't want to be that guy or that team. And if you're not sure, then do not marry yourself to a quarterback just because you feel like you got to have one. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's how you reach for these guys. If that's the case, go get your veteran because you got to have a quarterback in this league to compete at some type of level, Chris.
Right.
And if you don't have one, and the thing with Daniel Jones, I think, you know, when you look at him, he's getting a lot of credit, a lot of whatever you want to call it because of who his coach was and who his coach coached, you know, as far as the Mannings and all that. The thing with Drew Locke, you know, he everything about him is prototypical. I didn't expect the name Will Greer to come out of his mouth because I'm not a big fan of Will Greer. I'm just not a big fan of his. But the thing with Kyler is they keep talking about the versatility and explosiveness. And I go back to all the Texas Tech quarterbacks that Cliff had. I don't see none of them that look like Kyler Murray.
Right.
I don't see none of them. And I don't want to call Kyler a dual-threat quarterback, but I ain't seen none of them quarterback that can move or nothing like that.
It's interesting to see, again, how many go in the first round. You heard Vinny say he'd put a line on it at 3.5. I think I'd bet the under. This is not a good – you know, the one good – if you're a Falcon fan, one thing you've got going into draft day
options.
Is this is a darn good draft for defensive linemen.
And
it's a very
coming
good
out,
draft.
You know, the Giants aren't just necessarily jumping at to draft the quarterback at 6.
We'll talk a little more Falcons football, recap some of the free agent moves, talk a little bit about the direction they may go in next month's NFL draft. We'll do that next. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. We talk a little Atlanta Falcons football here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Online at 929thegame.com and at watch929thegame.com. Wherever you're joining us, however you're joining us, glad to have you with us on this Friday as we wrap up your work week. Weather's kind of nasty outside. If you're out and about, be safe today. Little different look going into the 2019 season, Randy, for the Falcons with some of these moves. Tanitra told us earlier today that looks like Lavitre won't be back.
Yes.
And then we just heard Mike Conte say Brian Poole is headed to the Jets.
Yep.
So he is gone. Falcons have made some moves, especially on the offensive line. James Carpenter, Jamon Brown, they add two guys there. Luke Stocker, the tight end. Kenyon Barner, the I'll call him a return guy. We'll get more into
that.
That's
what he is.
Yeah, we'll get more to that one in just a minute. But what's left for the Falcons in free agency? Is there another move or two you need to make before the draft?
Yeah, I think you need another vet, some veterans on the D-line possibly. Word just came down that Adrian Claiborne was released by New England. He had some success here.
Those I would take
familiar.
That.
Teammates are familiar with him. Why not bring him back on a lesser deal and get you another rusher from the veteran standpoint? But, yeah, I think they got to make another move because right now I don't – if we can go back to the draft for a second, I'm looking – and it's always hard when you're talking about conforming your roster because we know that usually the roster's never done it in the NFL, first of all. But it's more complete when you talk about after that last cut and you go get guys off the street and stuff like that. So where corner-wise, you said Brian Poole was just signed by the Jets. So they lost their top two of their top three corners last year. Well, now we know KZ is moving the nickel, but if Ricardo Allen isn't healthy, are you going to move him or are you going to keep him back there? Because he had a great year at their free safety position. So they got to get some corners, too. They got to find a way to get some corners, but they need a backup running back because I like Ito, but if Devontae goes down, you up the creek. You up the creek as far as running.
Yeah, and that's where I wanted to go next because it seems like, look, you know, Kenyon Barner doesn't give you much at all on offense.
No.
I mean, he's a special teams guy.
Yeah.
Is he an upgrade over Marvin Hall, who he's essentially replacing?
Whoa, that's a good – probably.
I mean, their numbers are pretty
probably,
even.
Probably. Man, that's a good one, man. Because, you know, how they use Marvin in his limited offensive roles is he's going deep. And Matt, you know, Matt would usually hit him when he's whenever running those gimmick plays or whatever, those double moves or flea flickers or whatever. So I go with Marvin Hall. I'll go with Marvin Hall. But it's not like game-breaking significance or anything like that, no.
Yeah. Barner is a guy that can return both kickoffs and punts, so he can help you in more than one area. But when it comes down to what it means to the Falcons' offense, you know, he's not a guy that's going to be much of a factor at running back.
No,
I mean, so you're looking at Devontae Freeman and Ito Smith, and then I guess you're at Brian Hill. So that's still an area that has to be addressed, whether that's through free agency, whether that's, as you mentioned, when Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News was with us talking draft, in the last segment, you asked him about, you know, who's there, round four, round five, maybe.
A guy, I love Montgomery from Iowa State. I just think you need a bigger body. Now, is Hill, are they confident that he can fill that role? I don't know. You got to find somebody because there's two players on this offense that you know that. You know, you just can't. It's hard to replace them. Matt Ryan's number one,
right.
Julio Jones. I don't think people realize how important Devontae Freeman is to this offense.
Would agree, yeah.
He is very important to this offense. And with the new moves that they've upgraded at the guard position with Juwan Brown and James Carpenter, what they've done is they've gotten more physical up there, letting me know that they're going to run the deck on football this year.
If you want to take a guy, you and I think both liked Rodney Anderson at different times during his career
at Oklahoma. Yes.
The only thing that scares, and we talked about this during our college football show on Saturdays, is the fact that the last 3 years for him, including this year, have all ended with injuries.
That's the point.
He has not been able to finish the season.
You can't make club in the tub. I mean, you know, the best is availability, man. I mean, that's where you've got to be. But again, he's a guy that you like a lot. But they got to find another corner. Got to find another running back. But you got to get some defensive line help and some. You got to get some big guys, Chris.
All right, let me add. I'm gonna play hypothetical.
All right.
I don't know that this happens. I think this guy's a top 10 pick, but who knows? I think if Arizona goes quarterback at one, it could set off a little bit of a chain reaction and some things, some guys may slide down you don't anticipate.
True.
Maybe you make a move. Maybe you make a deal and trade up for Greedy Williams.
No.
No?
I like Greedy. Greedy don't want to tackle nobody. He's not in this defense as a corner. You got to come up and put a hat on somebody. And Ed Oliver, I think Ed is a great player. How big is Ed going to be? Because I'm going to tell you right now, when he waited in the combine, that's why he didn't run, because he weighed heavier than he thought. And then, you know, people like, he's like 287, and the people thought he was coming in like 270. So I'm not going to run. Can he maintain that weight? Again, I'd rather have a bigger body playing next to Greedy, but at the same time, I'm not going to get upset if you go get Ed Oliver. But they got to get more physical on the defensive line, and they got to be able to get the quarterback. Now whether you like it or not, Vic here. Whether you like it or not, at 12.8, he got it. He's going to be here. He's going to be one of your rush-ins along with Tack. Got it. You get somebody to, because even though Vic is on for the 12.8, if he stinks again, don't you got to have a rush to replace him?
Yes.
You would like to get somebody in just in case it doesn't work out, and then, you know, you don't got to wait till the next draft to get you a guy.
Get some competition for him.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, make him earn it. Make him earn it.
But then the only thing you hate about making somebody earn it, and that it always comes down to the NFL, you're getting paid.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
And you're getting paid well.
You're getting paid well. So you got to plan. You can't just sit the option 12.8 on the sideline. You know, you got to play him.
I have thought, Randy, since the season ended for the Falcons, first round you go defensive tackle. Second round you go defensive back. And then from there, beginning in rounds 3, 4, and 5, you look at running back, you look at offensive line, you look at maybe another defensive tackle, defensive end guy in those middle rounds. Does that still, now that we've seen how these moves have played out in free agency for the Falcons, you still feel that way?
Yeah. And here's why. If you get a chance, you know, D-Lat was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday, and he was saying that there's scouts that say right now they have 16 defensive linemen with first-round grades on them.
Really?
Yeah. So you're talking about – and I think it's going to be a run. I think this is going to be – and also when we were talking to Vinny, there is a point where you got a lot of hybrid guys that can play inside and outside. And now that we're in so much nickel now, Chris, you really can have guys like a Michael Bennett that is primarily a defensive end, but you can line them over the guards and let them rush. Mm-hmm. And can you find that kind of guy in this draft? And there's some of those guys in this draft. The Falcons have got to get tougher and bigger on the defensive line of the ball, but they got to get younger on the offensive line. And what I mean by that, you got to draft a guy in those three middle spots. You know, we want – here, my example, Tyson Brello got a new deal.
Right.
Don't you want Tyson Brello to get $18 million of that contract? Because if he does, that means he played well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You hope that – and a lot of us are like, well, I mean, he really wasn't that outstanding last year, but yet you went out and you gave him money to be your starting right tackle. You want these guys, a Carpenter and a Brown, you want them to play out this money on these contracts they got, because if they do,
right,
that means they're playing well. But you got to find somebody to replace Alex Mack sooner than later. All right, he's getting up there in age, and he ain't played too well the last year or so.
And as you and I talked about yesterday, and I've said it repeatedly, the Falcons drafting offensive linemen scare me.
Oh, it should. Because it's not there.
Yeah, they have shown – is it the inability to make the right to scout the guy correctly and make the right choice, or – are they just not being developed once they get here? But either way, it's not working out.
It's not good. Exactly.
All right, Dave Baker, the SEC Network and the Kentucky Sports Network. We'll visit with Buzz. We'll get an idea of what's happening up in Nashville with the SEC tournament and a full day of action with a couple of games getting underway in just a little while. We'll do that when we return. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.